The following program will make you want to grow things and experience new and wonderful dreams about your plants, garden, and garden design. Listener participation is strongly advised. Good evening and welcome to Down the Garden Path with your hosts, Joanne Shaw and Matthew Dressing, right here on Reality Radio 101. To contact us live this evening by telephone, dial 905-725-1907. Toll free anywhere in North America, 1-866-905-7325. Send us an email in studio101@gmail.com. And now, right to your hosts of Down the Garden Path, Joanne Shaw and Matthew Dressing.
Thank you, Gary, and welcome to Down the Garden Path, where we discuss down-to-earth tips and advice for your plants, gardens, and landscapes. We think it is important and possible to have a great garden that is low maintenance. I'm Joanne Shaw, landscape designer and owner of Down-to-Earth Landscape Design for the past 10 years. It is currently a design-only business here in the east of the GTA. And with me is Matthew Dressing.
Hey, Joanne. Hey, Gary. I am Matthew Dressing, and I am a local horticulturist with 20 years in different aspects of the industry, educated through Niagara College in Niagara-on-the-Lake, and a local garden center supervisor dealing with bugs, plants, and all the things that come up on a day-to-day basis in our gardens. We enjoy doing Down the Garden Path each week to bring you interesting, relevant, and helpful topics to help you achieve a great garden. We learn right along with you from each other, from our research, and from the guests that join us here. We welcome your questions via social media, emails, or calls.
Thank you for joining us Down the Garden Path tonight. And for our last show of the month, we are going to discuss what to do in the garden next month. I can't believe it's the end of July.
It's the end of July already. It's
August. I know. So August is kind of an interesting month in the garden, isn't it?
It is.
So, before we do that, so there's lots to talk about as far as August in the garden, right? So please stay tuned. We're going to talk about do's and don'ts. We're going to talk about things that we can plant now for some fall color. We've got lots of things on the agenda for you. But before we get to that, let's first do our little segment about what is happening in our gardens.
Right.
What do you think? What's happening?
Not too much in my garden. I guess the main thing for me is right now in the GTA or just past in the GTA area, we had quite a little thunderstorm roll through. So where I was working, we got nothing, but I got home and my tomato's been knocked out of its cage and the potatoes are knocked over and we got quite a blast of wind, so I'm in a little bit of a disarray.
Yes,
but other than that, you know, I'm just enjoying.
There's everything's salvageable.
Everything's salvageable. Yes, yes. Just leave you hanging. Yeah. The tomatoes are okay. Yeah. Everything's salvageable. I just need to do some tidying up and some putting back into place. But yeah, other than that, I'm just laying back and watching the tomatoes ripen.
Excellent. Oh, so you already have tomatoes?
I am just absolutely filled. It's a Tidy Treats is the variety that I'm growing.
Okay.
It's a little cherry tomato that basically just plows out tomatoes. Okay. There's probably, I've picked very few, but there's probably about 50 or 60 nice.
On one not one plant.
Yeah, on the one plant, just waiting to be picked and just starting to swell at a nice, good size. So that's exciting.
That is exciting. All right.
What about your garden?
Well, my garden needed, we did also in Pickering, we did get a blast of rain, really fast and furious, just before I left to come to the show tonight. And but it wasn't enough. I was like, oh no, I've got to drive in this, and oh no, I'm gonna. But it really wasn't enough. So I have to say, my garden is dry, and my garden has weeds. I can't believe. Yeah, you know, we talked about last week how once I started planting in that, you know, that big carpet of mulch that's been there since October, had very few. You know, I stayed on top of it, but there really weren't a lot of weeds. But as soon as I started planting and kind of digging up and turning over the soil, I'm shocked by, especially considering it's been dry, how many weeds. And it also is kind of prime season for the crabgrass and things like that. A lot of things that get blown in. So I have to say my garden is very dry and it has a lot of weeds. So I really need to get out there. And I think that's something we'll talk about a bit later. Really important thing to stay on top of, because once it gets ahead of you, it's really hard to get caught up.
Hard, especially with that crabgrass.
Yeah. And that big tree that I planted last year, last week, I'm really still loving it. I'm finding watering it is a little tricky because the water, it's a bit of a slope there in my yard, and I'm noticing that the water's running off.
Yep.
So I was going to ask you, and no perfect time than doing it right on the show, is about those watering tree bags, bags that you fill with water.
Yeah, you see them usually around the city and stuff.
Yeah, my neighbor's using one for one that the city just planted for her. And so I was thinking about maybe I should really invest in one.
Yeah. They run, depending on where you get them, right, anywhere from $25 to $35. But they're really nice. They hold, I think, if I'm remembering correctly, about 15 gallons.
Okay.
Or 15 liters. And yeah, you just zip it up, put it around the tree, and it just waters beautifully.
Yes.
And if you have a large tree, you can the zippers are interchangeable, so you can but you can put two of them side by side because they wrap around and connect. So you can connect two. And then wrap around the two to connect again.
Okay.
Very customizable.
And then it'd be reusable. So once I no longer needed it, I could reuse it with clients and stuff
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You could put it around on a job. Yeah.
Excellent. So yeah, so nothing super exciting in my garden, but just staying on top of it. The maintenance from start, it was not the ideal time, end of July, to plant a new garden. But that's what I did. So now I'm going to have to, people always ask me, is it okay to plant in the middle of the summer? And it's like, yes, it is. Yes. But it is, in a way, a little bit more work because you've really got to stay on top of it.
We do. Yeah. And people ask that in the garden center, too. Is it really okay? Can I do it? Because they're all excited. And we just go away, right? Mm-hmm. We're a culture who goes away for summer. So we're not there when the plants really need us to help them.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. For sure. So, yeah.
Speaking about Garden Center, what's going on in the Garden Center?
Yeah, what's going on in the Garden Center?
Right now, really, it is watering. A lot of people are still waiting for that day of rain to really help us out.
We've been spoiled, weren't we?
We have. We've had a great spoiled spring. So don't forget to get out there and water. Remember, if you get, 10 millimeters of rain, that's like a centimeter, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like half an inch. So, you're really not getting any water. When your roots, you've just dug a plant in, they're like 12 inches down. So you got to make sure you're really thoroughly watering.
Yeah.
For sure. And then Japanese garden beetles. Still. I think we talked about it last week.
Yes. And I bought a trap. Remember, I visited you after the show and I did buy a trap. And I actually texted you too. More talking about me again.
Yeah.
Gary loves it when I do that. But they can get out. So I don't know if my trap is faulty or if it's just absolutely user error, which is absolutely probably the case. What do you think? Should they not be able to get out?
Right. Yes. And they shouldn't get out. Right. Because Japanese beetles generally take off like planes. And the plastics are usually slippery enough. So they can't fly out. So you bought the bag, didn't you?
I did.
So did you put up the sides?
Inside.
Right. And then you click in the sides to the center to make the narrow fold.
Yes. But one of them there's nothing for one of them to click into.
Oh, so you've got a defective bag.
I have a defective bag?
That could be it there.
Okay.
Yeah. Because we use that one in the garden center. We use all the ones we sell.
Yes.
We have that one and we've never had
them get out.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. Because three out of the four quadrants. They seem okay. They seem to make a nice little funnel, but the fourth quadrant is not making a funnel.
And that's probably what it is.
Yes.
They're probably
Catching. I mean, I certainly have lots in there, but I was in there today kind of looking at it, and because I thought I would have more, but I was kind of glad I didn't. But then when I saw the one fly out, I'm like, oh, okay, well, there you go. So much for that. So
so glad when you click that back.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So Japanese beetles. Okay.
Huge.
Okay. And I wonder if our listeners, are you having that same problem?
Just going to say.
Yeah.
It would be interesting for you guys to write in and let us know where you are.
Yes.
And whether or not you have the Japanese garden beetles or maybe they're like kind of, we're here in Whitby or my garden center's in Whitby.
Yes.
Maybe like us, we're just getting them. Not everybody quite has them just yet. So. Yeah. Yeah, let us know what's happening in your garden.
Okay.
I did a seminar on the weekend, and people were saying there's a product called Scoot you use to get rid of animals.
Right.
And one lady was using it on her hydrangea to get rid of some rabbits and some other critters. And she found that the Japanese garden beetles stopped coming.
Oh.
So just a little observation. Again, it's not made for that, but maybe, again, you found something in your garden.
Yeah. And what's in Scoot? Isn't that that's not a pepper? Is that a peppery thing? No?
No, I forget the exact active ingredients. Okay. It's kind of that white, milky, but the critters, when they come to it and they try to eat it, deers and rabbits and mice, it's distasteful for them. So I'd assume the Japanese beetles kind of come and can sense it or smell it or taste it. Yeah. So, yeah. Okay. So, what are you doing at home to do the Japanese garden beetles, our listeners? Have you found out any secret tricks? Because I think a lot of us are kind of lost as to what to do.
And I'm hoping, my trap is kind of in a conspicuous spot because it's for my front yard, not for my backyard. And I have it by, we've got one of the neighborhood mailboxes. So it's kind of like right by the neighborhood mailboxes. So I did have one neighbor go, and we put it on a shepherd's hook. So it actually is like in the ground on a shepherd's hook hanging from that because it didn't seem like it made sense to hang it on the tree necessarily. So, so then I had a couple neighbors go, what's with the bag? But I think it's a good thing that it's not absolutely massively filled because it's not doing what people are fearing that it is attracting them. And I've heard in conversations I forget where I was, and someone said that, oh, you're just going to attract them from everywhere, you know, from the whole neighborhood. And, you know.
Yeah. And the traps are designed to only cover so much.
Yes.
So it does not bring it in from like a kilometer away.
Right.
It does only.
Or street over even.
Right. No. Exactly. It does like a radius of 200 meters around the trap or whatever, 200 feet around the trap. And that's all it catches. Okay. But I mean, if you put it at the fence line of your neighbors. Right. So if you're in your backyard, you have five neighbors bordering you.
Right.
You put it in the back corner. There's three of them. If they're inundated, you're going to obviously.
Yes.
Right. Yes. And usually where there's one on a leaf, there's two hiding somewhere else. Mm-hmm. So you really actually do. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have to show you some of the pictures I took of our traps.
Okay. Really full.
Oh, yeah.
You were going to have to post those. But I did have a neighbor that they're. Oh, my goodness. Went right out of my head. They're annual. The big tropical one. You take the bulbs out in the fall.
Cannas?
Yes. They had cannas in the center of their containers. Oh. And she goes, are those the bugs that ate my cannas? And so she looked at the bag and she goes, yep. And then my husband said, are those the bugs that are like all on top of each other in clusters all over the golf course? And he looked at the bag and he goes, yep. So, you know, oh, my goodness, Gary, look at you. Thank you. So definitely it's a conversation starter for sure having that bag there. So that's kind of interesting. I'm sure like I'd love to know if you're using a bag and how you found it or a Japanese beetle trap, how you found it, that type of thing. So we'd love to hear from our listeners and see what are you doing with your Japanese beetles. Mm. And if you have them, if you don't have them, I'd love to know that too. This is my first year. So that's why I want to try to nip them in the bud.
Right. And there's a lot of first year people coming. Mm-hmm. We've had them for the last three. This is probably the fourth year that we've had them.
Do you see them at home?
I don't. Okay. I don't see them in my grandmother's yard or my yard.
Okay.
I thought I'd seen them and I'd seen some June bugs, but no, I haven't seen them there.
Okay. Good. Excellent. Well, I think we are definitely have lots to talk about as far as August in the garden.
Oh, yeah.
Don't you think? There's just, it's kind of, you think it's a month that we could take a break, but in a way it's almost a month where there's a lot to do.
There's still lots to do.
Yeah, there is still lots to do. So I'm looking forward to going through a few tips and tricks and some ideas for everybody, helping to continuously help our gardens be low maintenance. But let's pause for a commercial break. And when we get right back, we'll talk about all the things to do or not to do in our August garden. Thanks for listening here on Reality Radio 101. We'll be right back.
Are you wondering why your life isn't moving in the direction that you want it to? Do you ever hear yourself saying, "It's like I'm running into walls," or "My money flows out as quickly as it comes in"? Until about 9 years ago, I used to hear myself say those exact words. I could never figure out what was causing these problems or how to fix them. Well, that's until I started to learn about feng shui and how by applying the principles of it to my home or my office, I could in fact help fix those problems and have my life run smoother. Wow. When you book a feng shui consultation with us at Your Spiritual Connection, we will help you to figure out why things aren't working out in your favor, and we will offer simple solutions to help correct the problems, which will in turn help your life to run smoother.
Contact Trish John of Your Spiritual Connection at 905-391-8801. To book your feng shui consultation today. For more information on any of our upcoming events and workshops, please visit our website at www.yourspiritualconnection.ca. Your Spiritual Connection, helping you to make the connections in your life.
It's sounding good, now your vehicle can look good too. Downforce Detailing is the go-to place for a great-looking exterior and interior that will match the day that you picked up your ride from the showroom. It has to be a visit to Downforce Detailing in Oshawa. Downforce Detailing will make your vehicle look and feel brand new. Great service right through to a great finish. Downforce Detailing in Oshawa and the GTA, 905-432-0067. Check out Downforce Detailing on Facebook. Auto Detailing for the street and Race Car Detailing for the track. Downforce Detailing, 905-432-0067. That's 905-432-0067. And stay clean, my friends.
The following program will make you want to grow things and experience new and wonderful dreams about your plants, garden, and garden design. Listener participation is strongly advised.
Sugar.
Welcome back to Down the Garden Path with your hosts, Joanne Shaw and Matthew Dressing, right here on Reality Radio 101. To call us in the studio right now live, dial 905-725-1907, toll free 1-866-905-7325. Send us an email in studio101@gmail.com. And now, getting down to Down the Garden Path with the Archies, Jughead, Betty, Veronica, and more. Here they are, Joanne Shaw and Matthew Dressing.
Thank you, Gary, and welcome back, everyone. And thank you for once again joining us down the garden path here on Reality Radio 101. So we are anxious to talk to you about what's happening in your garden or any questions and dilemmas you have with your August garden that you think is going to happen, like, you know, well, or what you want to work on, right?
Right.
This next month. So, so we've got a few different categories and a few different items. Again, you know, if you're good and everything's fine, then, you know, that's good too. But Some people just don't know what to do, and especially if it's gotten ahead of them. Like, I've been walking around even this afternoon. I went for a short 10-minute walk, and I just kind of feel bad because I feel like the weeds have gotten ahead of people, and they may have given up. So yeah. We want to help you get out of that, right? Excellent. So what's our first thing we think we should be doing? Well, we already touched on it a bit.
The watering and the fertilizing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a good time to just going through the garden, what is and isn't there to do. I guess one of the big things was what's performing. I mean, obviously the weeds are performing, but is the rest of the garden performing?
Yeah.
So just evaluating, do you have the right plant in the right spot?
Mm-hmm.
Is there something that you've missed doing, like the weeds? Is that kind of contributing?
Yeah.
Have you been overhead watering and now you're being affected by all the mildews and black spots and everything like that? Yeah. Are there plants that are too much work?
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's a big one. Or are things growing and now something is at the back and not getting enough sun, so it's not performing. So you need to look at it to move it out.
Right plant, right place.
Yes, right plant, right place. Or something that's too high maintenance, like you said. You know, is there a rose bush that's not doing well and covered in black spot? Most. It's time to get it out.
That's number one right now, everyone. Yeah. The rain is caught up and the humidity is driving all that fungal growth right now. And people, and then coupled with the Japanese beetles, people just want to throw their roses out.
Yeah. And you think you're going to remember next year. Like, I think this is the time of year where we go, oh, okay, I'll remember to take that out in the spring, or I'll remember to take that out in the fall. I'll do that.
Yeah.
Well, you won't. Like, just do it. It's okay. Take it out now.
Yeah.
Move
it.
Put the rose bush in a pot if that helps.
Yep.
Right? Give it a hot, sunny, dry location. If there's a shaded plant in front of it, try it in a pot. If it makes it, great. If it doesn't cost, you know, you're done. Your cost, you know, you've already paid for it, right?
Right, exactly. And yeah, and if you put something in the pot and you're just not sure and you really want to keep it come winter, you could also dig it into just a little spare spot. Just put it back into a hole and overwinter it in the pot.
Right.
Yeah, and then pull it back out. And, you know, a lot of perennials and shrubs are great as mixed plants in containers.
Yes.
They couple well with annuals. Salvias, different perennial grasses, echinaceas, they're fantastic things.
Yeah, so, the ornamental grasses. I've got a friend who has her twisty willow. Yellow.
The purple robe locust.
I haven't done that one.
Oh, okay.
But you know, it's a twisty willow.
Oh, okay. Curly willow.
in a big container. And she has it in a big tall pot and it's third year's going. It's wintered great. She hasn't had to put it in the ground, and it's in a privacy spot in her backyard.
Oh, that's
perfect. So she sent me a picture because I was trying to solve some of my privacy issues, and so I think I'm gonna get one of those because I think that's a great, and if it's hard enough to survive in a pot, it's tough to kill a willow.
So
I'm looking forward to that. So definitely, if I think of your annuals also, I know walking around, you know, those 10-inch pots are done, done like dinner. Those annuals are done. So there's no real watering and fertilizing that's really going to bring them back. If you've let them go and you kept them in that 10-inch pot. So now might be time for, you'll probably get them on sale. So that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
You might want to look for a 12 or 14 or 16-inch pot to kind of get you through the rest of the season.
Yeah.
Because there's still lots of season left, and there's nothing worse in your yard of, you know, having a pot of dead annuals. And if you do get them from the nursery, if you get some new ones, then give them a good dose of fertilizer to kind of perk them up, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You want to keep feeding those flowers, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're spending a lot of energy to give you that show.
Yes.
So something with a high middle number.
Okay.
So like a 15, 30, 15.
Okay.
And that 30 drives that growth. And, you know, in the garden center, we have some good flowering fertilizers too. And a lot of people say, well, you know, it's August and am I going to really use this much? No, probably not just on your containers, but also think outside, right? We've got a lot of fall and late summer flowering trees and shrubs.
Mm-hmm.
They could use it. But also perennials will store and gather some of that food and use it to overwinter and give you new growth. So think about it coming into mid-August, using the rest of that fertilizer to feed those perennials so they fatten up and get that root store so they can fight off any winter stress.
Oh, okay.
And whatever they don't use, they will reward you with some new growth.
All right. That's good to know. Yeah. And the fertilizer doesn't go bad, right? So no, as long as we bring it inside or we bring it, it doesn't freeze.
No, yeah.
You know, don't leave it laying around the yard. But if it's protected, if, especially if it's granular, it's good next year. So it's good for the year after, right? Yeah. So
dry and cool. Yes. Got it made. So
yes.
It never goes to waste as long as you keep it. Yeah, for sure.
Definitely. Okay. And pruning. So we did talk about from July was our July show was about, it feels like we just did the July show too, does. Right? but hopefully everybody's getting used to our new little format. So, but in our July show, we talked about July was the month to do our trimming and our pruning of our evergreens and really to not August. We shouldn't really be doing that.
You evergreens. Don't want to encourage all that new growth. Yeah.
Exactly. But there are some things that we should be pruning in August.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of the ones I think you asked me about and a lot of people are asking about, too, is Japanese maples.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
It's always a weird one and or one that people like to ask about because they want the perfect picturesque Japanese
They're afraid
maple.
To make it. Like, that's one that you, if you mess it up, you've kind of messed it up.
You
right?
can hurt it. Yeah, because they're so slow growing. So, yeah, there's two times. You can do a little bit of it now, for sure.
Okay.
It's not the main one, but you can be doing it now. And then what we're going to do now is just look into what the overall structure is. Has some of the new growth created new crossing branches? Is there anything that's kind of died back in the meantime? Is there something you have a nice shape, a nice cascading waterfall kind of shape? And are there some sprigs kind of jumping out? So it's more of a maintenance pruning right now.
Aesthetics. More kind of aesthetics.
Right. Exactly. And then your main shaping one's going to be in the late winter.
Okay.
That's where you're going to go in and remove some of the scaffolding branches or, you know, drastically change its shape type thing.
All right. Yeah. So we'll that be for another month.
So we'll be talking about that in another month. And if you've planted it just now, just let her establish. Let her get in there, get her feet anchored. And, you know, just don't do too much pruning and shaping. We like to say the nursery, let the trees go in for about 2 to 4 years before you really start setting up any major shapes, like any scaffolding or the main limbs of the tree. Let her get in there first.
Yeah, so when you first planted it, it's not the time to start hacking it back and shaping it.
Yeah, just enjoy her. You got a new tree you're excited about and let her settle in and she'll reward you.
And I would say now is particular, they're also a particular one where they might not look like they need water. You know, you might not be thinking, especially if it's a mature one, whether it's new or mature, but I think this type, you know, we've had a bit of a drought and we haven't had that the long rains that we had in the early spring. So now would be a good time to really make sure that we get a good deep watering. Like with Japanese maples, the key is the deep watering.
Yes.
It's not taking the hose and, you know, washing the bottom of the root, you know, its feet for a little bit. It is a little bit more of a have the hose on there and a trickle and have a nice deep watering.
Yeah. Yeah. Just leave the end of the hose right on at the base of the plant and just turn it. So just, you know how you turn off the sink when you're brushing your teeth you don't quite turn it and there's that little trickle. Just leave one of those for 20 to 30 minutes and just leave it there. Make sure it doesn't pour all over your driveway.
But yes.
It's thinking about your tree while I said that.
Definitely. I think that is something. I know I've always been nervous about pruning my Japanese maples, but it's if you're going to do it now, so doing it early spring is not a good time because the sap's running.
Mm-hmm.
Doing it too late and encouraging new growth is not a good time. So if there is something, a couple branches that have been bothering you, if it's, you know, it's a good time.
Yeah. Yeah. And doing it now for the Japanese maples, just that little bit of maintenance pruning, you won't get lots of new growth on it. You'll stimulate some reaction, but it's not going to, you know, flush out and then get burnt by the frost by any means. So, yeah.
Well, that's good.
Something else, just as we were talking about deep watering, rhododendrons. Ooh. If you've got your rhodos, right, they're fattening up. They're setting this next spring's buds right now.
Okay.
So make sure that she doesn't get hit by drought and dry out. She's building all that new young tissue to reward you in the spring. So give, again, just like your Japanese maple, a nice deep watering.
Okay.
Yeah, so she keeps those nice and wet.
When would be a good time to transplant to move, if you wanted to move rhodos, or is it not worth trying?
Yeah, you probably could.
Okay.
Yeah,
would that be a fall thing or a little bit cooler, not now?
Yeah. Let it for a nice cooler day or when we get a few rainy days, do it. And then, again, just making sure to get your roots in there. So using something, again, like the bone meal or a transplant fertilizer or 15-30-15,
okay,
something to just kind of get the roots to heal themselves and settle in.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. You have to remind me about that in the fall that I want to do
yes.
that. Because I have two that are behind my Annabelle hydrangeas that really never, and nobody ever sees because they bloom so late that the Annabelles are already up.
Oh, okay,
the,
yeah.
The Annabelles might not be blooming, but yeah. So
but they've grown so
I tried,
quick.
Yeah, I tried to do that succession. Oh, these will be, you know, Rodals will be here early spring and nice and white, and then the Annabelles will come, and that hasn't worked. So yeah. So, and I don't know that I have a spot, so I'd like to kind of give them to a friend who's got some shade. So yeah. So that is good to know that the rhodos, so that's now a particular time to spend some, to pay attention to them.
Yeah, we're in a nice peak heat season, so just making sure that they don't go thirsty.
Okay.
For sure.
Because people don't realize they're a bit of an, they are an evergreen. They're what we call a broadleaf evergreen.
You got it. Yeah. Yeah. Just like your euonymus, for example. The leaves are always there. Right? Yeah. I call it euonymus must pick something else.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, their leaves curl like little cigarettes and kind
yes.
of move down to the side. So
mm-hmm.
we'll be talking, I think, in our September show and definitely our October show, given the weather. There's a couple things that people forget to do about watering and their evergreens.
Oh,
so,
okay.
I'm going to leave it at that, and you're
okay.
just going to
have to tune back in.
At the end
excellent.
Of August.
Excellent. Well, we have a lovely message from Bonnie. Thank you very much.
Hey.
She says she's a new listener to our show. And she's told quite a few people about it, which we'd love to hear. And thank you. We kind of know lots about horticulture, but we hope we don't know everything, which is why we love doing the show.
That's exactly why I love doing the show, and that's why I love doing it.
Yeah.
I say it at the Garden Center. If I knew everything, I'd quit.
Yes.
Mother Nature is always exciting.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Sure. So thank you. Thank you very much, Bonnie. And we look forward to you listening, and hopefully we can help you with something in your garden.
Yeah. Thanks, Bonnie. Thanks, Bonnie's friends.
Now we always kind of come back to the dreaded, we're both such plant and garden lovers that we kind of like lawns, but you know, when we have to talk about lawns, right? Gary always wants to know about lawns.
Yes.
Oh,
yes. So what should we like there, but August is a month where you should pay attention to your lawn, right?
Right. Yeah. August is the month. Japanese beetles. Here we go again. Making sure that lawn is nice and thick. Well-fed, so you're going to do, you know, your spring, summer, fall fertilizing.
Okay.
But coming in now, you want to make sure it's 3 inches high minimum. It's watered once in a week to an inch deep. And we've had some hot and humid days in our area. But if you're still getting that kind of up and down that the spring kind of brought us, we're getting a few of those days still, too.
Mm-hmm.
Grass seed will activate in that range of 16 to 22. If it gets too hot for too long, they'll quiet down. But making sure that she's nice and thick. And what this is going to do is prevent mum, the Japanese garden beetle mum, from coming down and laying eggs. So if she can crawl through that grass and touch soil, she's going to lay up to like 90 eggs in
wow.
your lawn. Right. So if she can't touch it, she's going to try to move somewhere else, which could be in your garden or off into a ditch or somewhere else she feels suitable.
Okay.
So
I'm excited about this. So we could spread grass seed now.
Yes. Yes. And again, it's that kind of, we've had that weird fluctuating rainy, damp.
Yes.
Some days are bright and sunny and just really cool. But that 16 to 22, that's where we want our grass, our day and somewhat overnight temperatures too.
Yeah.
And the grass seed will start to grow.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so fattening up. And, you know, that's the thing, too, with the keeping it at 3 inches. If you've ever gone to the park, right, and you lay in the grass, it's nice and long, but it's like 5 degrees cooler.
Right.
The grass is keeping itself cool. And when it's long, it'll create those conditions or help create those conditions for itself.
Okay.
Yeah, so you can fatten it up and get it nice and thick.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And, Gary, you did nematodes last year.
Mm-hmm.
I did.
And?
I wasn't happy because the people that actually did the application, they didn't tell me the proper thing about watering and stuff, so
right.
you know, I wasn't very, very happy about it. So,
okay,
yeah,
yeah, there are some instructions that actually I put that in our notes and our show notes, Matt, about how do we really apply them,
yes,
and why you should do your neighbor's lawn too.
Well, because you're just a nice neighbor.
Yeah.
No, I do because our front yard and everything is so small, it just butts up against, you know.
Yes, you pretty much have to do the neighbor's yard, you know.
But I found out later, and I think I actually found out from Matt, you guys discussed it last year, that these things have to be watered in.
Yes.
Yeah. And on the instructions, the person that laid them down never told me that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And last year was a challenge because it was so, we had such a drought.
That's
so
right.
I don't think people realize that. Yep. So, yeah. So I wondered, Matt, do you want to go through, because, you know, it seems simple when you buy them and we all talk about use them, spray them on or whatever. But really, I think some people are really overwhelmed by it and aren't having success because they're not doing it 100% the proper way.
Most certainly. Just first thing about the nematodes is make sure you get them from a quality place. We get in from a company in Niagara on the lake.
Okay.
And I'm hoping to have them here and one day on the show.
Oh, excellent.
But they specialize in these beneficial insects, and we keep ours refrigerated. So make sure, you know, the ones on the shelf, imagine you're a living organism and you're sitting on a shelf, right? You don't buy a puppy off the shelf, right? So nematodes are living things. So make sure they are either very, very fresh or they are refrigerated, because you'll lose some effectiveness.
Okay. Even though I thought they were shipping, they had done something to kind of shelf stabilize them.
You
just don't buy that.
I'm not.
That's okay.
I'm not sure. One day I'll buy them and I'll test it out, but.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
I'm on the
fence
there.
So if you're not had success or you really want to be better guaranteed for success,
yes,
then look for the ones that are kept in the fridge.
That are kept in the fridge. Yeah.
Okay.
They're in there with food and they're cool, just like other insects. It slows their metabolism and their life cycle.
Okay.
Right? So it just keeps them there. Kind of like the ladybugs when you buy them. Yeah. So how to and when to apply them. One of the things that we forget is that nematodes are soil-borne insects. So they've evolved under the ground for the most part. I don't know any that really are above the ground, save the, you know, there's the ones that attack tomatoes and shrubs and things like that. They'll get in the leaves and the foliage.
Okay.
But most of them are in the ground as well. The ones that we do have are ground ones. So you can't do it during the day. So one of the common mistakes is people will come up to garden center, they'll grab nematodes or Home Depot or wherever you end up buying them, and they'll go home right away and do it. And it's 28 degrees and there's not
sun
a cloud
shining,
in the sky.
Yeah.
Right. And they're dead or mostly dead before they even leave, as they leave the end of the hose. So, they're just burning
that
away.
I didn't know. See, I always think I know everything, Brian, and I don't.
So always do them either first thing in the morning or late in the evening. And I say a good rule of thumb is right about where the sun is eye level on the horizon and lower.
Okay.
So it's just kind of dusk. You can still see. It's still fairly bright. Even, you know, when the sun does hit the tree line and go down, you can't see it. It's still fairly bright.
Yes.
So you can still see what you're doing. That's dark enough for them to do it. You can go out during the rain, a rainstorm, but we want like nice, dark, long days of rain. A quick shower coming through doesn't count.
Okay.
In the middle of the day. Mm-hmm. But then, so when this can be a long answer.
The rest of the show is on nematodes.
So
no, okay.
No. So basically you're going to water your lawn for 30 minutes and you're going to mix the nematodes into water. And you usually pour out so much of the applicator water, put it back in the applicator with the nematodes mixed in, and then water it in. Start where you're most affected and work your way out. Or if you're just covering your whole lawn, just systematically hit your whole lawn.
Doesn't the sponge, because these nematodes come on a sponge, so doesn't that sponge go in the hose end sprayer and just stay there?
The ones that I sell don't. Oh. So the ones that I get, you get two sponges. They cover 3,000 square feet on average. So that's why it's nice to do your neighbor's lawn too, right?
Okay.
You're getting 10 million of them usually, if not more.
Okay.
You want to, take, for example, the half-liter receptacle for the hose end sprayer. Pour it in, four of those, into another thing. So you're mixing 2 liters of water.
Okay.
Put the sponge in and squeeze it so the nematodes come out. The nematodes can't hurt you.
Okay.
They are species-specific. They're looking for big worm ones. But there are ones in the tropics that can. So I think people kind of get that misnomer. So squeeze them out into the water, and you kind of make like a T. And we say always put a tea bag or some food coloring in, just because it's hard to see sometimes. That opaque plastic is usually what you get. It's not clear like glass, so you kind of get that foggy plastic look. So that just marks the water level. So you can see the line of tea, right? You can see most of the nematode applicators are the ones that we have again. Just drain.
Okay.
And if you're out there watering, you're not paying attention, it's getting dark, or it is brightening up slowly, it's hard to or easy to not see the water. And some people have come in and said, I just kept watering and watering, the thing was empty, what did I need to do? Mm. And they forgot to refill it. So
okay.
So yeah, so making sure the sponge, you kind of make that tea, refill. So you need to push them down into that upper 3 inches.
Right, so then you're going to put the sprinkler on or something like that. Okay.
And soak the lawn all over again.
Okay.
And then, yes, so like Gary was saying about the watering, just making sure that you're watering for a good 5 to 7 days. You don't want that lawn to dry out.
Right.
So you can't just kind of wet the lawn. You need to launch the sprinkler and let it soak in nice and good.
So very easy for those people with irrigation systems.
Yeah. You have to do them by hand, but then do your irrigation system timer. Okay. And you can buy timers for your hose, too. If you think it's a lot of watering work,
No, that's true. And mid-August is the time, so this is appropriate for our August show.
Right, yes. So by mid-August, mum's laying eggs, and they're hatching, and by the mid to end of August, depending on how many we have, and we've got lots. So you'll see the tiny little white grubs, and this is the best time. A lot of people ask, do I do it now, or do I do it in the spring, or do I do it both? So now is the best time to do it in the fall. Usually mid to end of August or, beginning of Labor Day, you're still on track.
Okay.
The eggs are going to hatch and they're going to feed on your lawn. So you have until it gets really cold, like leaves are dropping, the air is really cold. That's when they're going to travel down below where the nematodes can reach them. So don't feel oh my God, it's the end of August, I haven't done it. No, you got plenty of time.
Okay.
They just get bigger and they do more damage.
Right. But because it's our August show, I felt like that was something.
It's very timely.
Very timely. Because if we started talking about it in September, we'll probably mention it for a September show, but definitely I think that's something to think about right now.
Yeah.
Just put that on your list.
Yes, exactly.
Excellent.
Watch for the nematodes.
Mm-hmm.
And you cannot spray nematodes now and hurt the Japanese garden beetles. I've had that question too. It's going to hurt their kids, but not above ground. So,
right.
Yeah, don't worry about rushing out right now to get them for the beetles.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. So the bags for the beetles and the nematodes for their babies.
Yeah.
Excellent. All right. Well, there's still lots to talk about. And I'm excited to talk about plants, though, and flowers and what's coming up in the fall. But why don't we talk about that right after we get back from our next commercial break?
You are listening to Down the Garden Path on Reality Radio 101.
Baby, when I think about you, I think about love.
Are you wondering why your life isn't moving in the direction that you want it to? Do you ever hear yourself saying, it's like I'm running into walls, or my money flows out as quickly as it comes in? Until about 9 years ago, I used to hear myself say those exact words. I could never figure out what was causing these problems or how to fix them. Well, that's until I started to learn about feng shui and how by applying the principles of it to my home or my office, I could in fact help fix those problems and have my life run smoother. Wow. When you book a feng shui consultation with us at Your Spiritual Connection, we will help you to figure out why things aren't working out in your favor, and we will offer simple solutions to help correct the problems, which will in turn help your life to run smoother.
Contact Trish John of Your Spiritual Connection at 905-391-8801. To book your feng shui consultation today. For more information on any of our upcoming events and workshops, please visit our website at www.yourspiritualconnection.ca. Your Spiritual Connection, helping you to make the connections in your life.
Looking for a quick, easy to apply, an all-natural fertilizer to use in your vegetable and flower gardens or for your fruit trees? Why not work with Mother Nature? Layer Hand Manure is a terrific fertilizer, and this is what Actisol does by transforming the manure from their egg farms into an efficient fertilizer. The manure is dried using a technology that harnesses the heat given off by the hands. No other heat source is needed. Actisol is easy to use, safe for the environment, children, and pets. You can purchase Actisol products at your local garden center or order in bulk. For more information, visit www.acti-sol.ca. Actisol, the mother hen fertilizer.
Welcome back to Down the Garden Path with your hosts, Joanne Shaw and Matthew Dressing, right here on Reality Radio 101. Send us an email right now, in studio 101 at gmail.com. Baby, just how you feel. You got to roll. And now, right back to your hosts, Joanne Shaw and Matthew Dressing.
Thank you, and welcome back, and thank you once again to joining us down the garden path on our What to Do in the Garden in August show. Yes. On the last day of July.
Mm-hmm. Well, so we want to make sure you're ready and excited about August.
That's right. It's very convenient for July to end on a Monday.
On the Monday.
perfect timing, right?
Exactly.
So we wanted to end with some fun stuff. I know we've talked about all the work and the kind of, you know, all the negative things about gardening in the sense of weeds and Japanese beetles and insects and all of that. But we also think it's a great time of year when you're out there reevaluating your garden or walking through your garden. Where do you have spots? Where is something not blooming? Or where do you have a spot where you need to plant something? And now is a great time to think about what you could plant now to get you color for now, for August, for September, October, right?
Because
everybody focuses so much on those spring gardens.
Yes.
And, you know, we're going to all be talking about bulbs soon, which is more plant, more work for now for spring gardens. But we sometimes just rely on mums or annuals or just kind of give up.
Yeah.
So we both kind of had a list.
We had, and we actually came up a different list
we
together.
We did, yeah. Separately. Yeah, different lists with some things that we can add. Let's start with perennials.
Yeah, perennials.
My favorite thing are shrubs, but we'll start with perennials.
you're more shrubs.
I am more shrubs. I'm a shrub girl. Yeah, for sure.
And I love perennials.
There you go.
Yeah.
So my list was Japanese anemone,
yes,
which is really nice. And I've got a really nice plant that has very nice foliage and then it sends up a nice spiky flower in the fall. Mm-hmm. So I have a few going. They take a little bit to get established, but so it's nice to have something new. There's a pink one and white one,
yep,
and one with even a burgundy foliage as well.
I believe. I'm not familiar with that variety, but as I say, I love perennials.
Yeah.
But yes, that, yeah.
So that's something, yeah, to look in your garden center for Japanese anemone. Mm. Coreopsis is another one. It's a huge family. So do some research there. You want to have something that's a little bit not too taller, but not too tall. You know, there's one for every spot in your garden.
Yes.
Usually they're yellow. Well, mm-hmm. It's a big family. You really want to ask some questions, though, because I have a big asterisk on the coreopsis in that there's several varieties that are a little, I wouldn't say invasive, but maybe a bit more aggressive, the self-seeding.
I guess so self-seeding.
Yeah.
Kind of everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. And you just have too much of it. So that's one thing. But in as far as show, as far as long blooming,
star performer,
you know, it's a good performer. My other one is, it's a native, I believe, as well, Joe Pieweed, which is kind of an odd name. Now, the cultivar, is it cultivar? Yes, gets a little tall. So some of the hybrid ones, they've kind of reduced the height. Am I using my horticulture technology terminology correctly? So I would look for the dwarf varieties. So Little Joe is, you know, going to be about 3 feet. Again, it's a great pollinator. All of these are good pollinators, but they particularly kind of almost like remind you a little bit of milkweed, like the flower, the way it's a cluster,
yes,
right? So it's a really good pollinator. And for shade, Simisifuga or black snake root also comes in. It's similar foliage, actually, to the Japanese anemone, actually. I have them in the same area.
Yep.
And they send up a nice, more of a spiky flower. Great option for the shade. chocolate foliage if you want. But it's something that, you know, it's in the background all summer.
Yeah.
And then come fall when everything else kind of petering out, it just pops up. So I think those are my top picks. I guess we could have done our top five.
Top five.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And my last would be perennial hibiscus, which also I say with an asterisk, because make sure you if you're going to plant it at the back of the garden, because it is a dead stick up until like 2 weeks from now in your garden. And so you're always, so a lot of people dig them up or don't realize that they're there or kill them. And so if it's at the back of the garden, it will find the sun. It will come up later in the season and it will put on a good show, but it's just really doesn't do much up until this time of year, right? Mid-August, you know?
Yeah. You get some good height and the buds coming. And we get that back every spring. Oh,
yes.
My hibiscus is dead.
No, it's not dead.
It's still sleeping.
Yes.
It's May
yes.
2-4, but it's still sleeping.
Yeah. How about you? Which perennials did you think about for fall color?
One of the ones that I like, Agastache.
Okay.
That blooms in through July and into the beginning and mid of August.
Excellent.
I like it, the Annie Hyssop. I like it because when you crush the leaves, it smells like black licorice.
Oh.
I love that one. And you can get them in some nice rich pinks and blues and purples. She's like a mid-ground to a background kind of garden.
Yeah,
she
so it's
can
like
get
a two or three,
tall.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, two to four.
Another great pollinator, too.
Is. Again, yes, exactly. A beautiful pollinator. Rudbeckia, just nonstop. And there's native varieties that are out there. Great pollinators, great color, long-lasting, tough as nails.
Okay.
There's some really great little one. I guess Goldstrom is kind of the Rudbeckia of standard choice. Right. And there's little Goldstrom out there now, and it's only about 12 inches tall, maybe 14 to 16 at pushing it, but great little, you know, bringing it into the front of the garden and adding some color. Again, a lot of people think spring, right? So they're looking for things like phlox to give you that big showy color. It's great, you know, it's great to have that, but you know, break it up and get you some different texture and some color later in the season so that your border looks really showy as well.
And the nice thing about these is they will probably bloom right into the frost.
Oh, yeah. They're
right.
Go.
These are long bloomers. The one thing that's the downfall to me of the spring flowering things is they're fairly short.
They are.
Aren't they? They're pretty short lived. So, like, you know, think of peonies, the phlox, even the summer, the spring phlox, summer snow in the mountain, those are all really showy for a real brief time. And I think we really have an advantage of planting stuff in August that's going to have great blooms right until the frost.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So many of them start in July and go right through there.
Yeah.
And everyone loves hydrangeas for that, right?
Yes.
And there's so many hidden perennials that do the exact same thing.
Yes.
That long, long bloom time.
Excellent. Excellent.
One of my favorite for the shade were toad lilies.
Oh, okay.
Trachyrtus is the genus name. And orchid-like stems with dainty little five-petaled in blue and speckled whites and purples and bright purples.
They're really unique.
They're very unique. If you're looking for something different, most certainly, definitely a nice partial shade creature. They do like a little bit more even moisture. I've tried them in some fairly dry spots and they've kind of pittered out. And
okay.
So make sure you have an evenly moist or a dry or moister shade than a drier shade. For sure.
Excellent. Excellent. And we're running out of time.
Let's jump into some shrubs.
Yeah. So we talk about hydrangeas, of course. But I think people forget about or don't know about my favorite oak leaf hydrangea. So it actually does have an oak leaf. And the benefit, it is the only hydrangea that the leaves turn red. So if you love the viburnums and the burning bushes that turn red, turn burgundy in the fall, then you will absolutely love the oak leaf hydrangea. It puts on an amazing show, these really different type of blooms on them. And then the leaf is just goes beautiful color. And people, I have them as same. It's another one of those things where people come across the street and ask me, what is that? So that's a good keeper. things like the butterfly bush, Caryopteris, late, again, they're things that we don't think about and don't put in the garden in the spring because they don't really look like much at all in the nursery, right? They look like the nursery's selling dead shrubs. But now's the time to buy them. You'll see them in your nurseries and your local garden centers, and they're going to do a great job of extending the bloom of your garden. Not necessarily, you can get burning butterfly bushes that do take up a lot of space, or you can get some dwarf ones that stay small, and they're going to bloom right into the frost. Just remember that in come spring, it's not going to look great. It's really going to be, you know, you need other things around it. I know my butterfly bush is kind of tucked under my bloomerang lilac, right? And it's a little tucked a little too tightly, but, you know, so in the spring, I don't really notice it because the lilac's showing off, and now it's kind of coming into its own. Yeah. So those are some of my favorites. How about you?
Yeah, I mean, Caryopteris, definitely. I mean, you mentioned it, just that blue Falsparia, just beautiful, beautiful blue covered, nice dainty lanceolate or spear shaped leaves.
Yeah.
Kind of like the butterfly bush in a way, the perennials, right? You can get some good dieback on it, and it's kind of that half shrub, half perennial guy, but just a stunning fall performer. Nice. I love it. It's my favorite. Getting gold leaf, variegated
leaf. Yeah, that's another thing. It can come with a bit of a yellow leaf to it. So it makes it quite a pop of color in the garden, right? A nice texture.
Yeah.
Excellent. So we can't forget the lowly Rose of Sharon.
Oh, yeah.
Which also, I think, belongs at the back of the garden because it really is a late to come into its own in the season. But it will put on a nice show in August
Beautiful
and September.
Show. And watch for those dwarf, quote unquote, varieties too, like Little Kim. The dwarf ones are still about 5x5, 4x4.
Okay.
So they've still got some good size to them, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know there were dwarf ones.
Yeah, I think the one that I know is Little Kim. That's the one we sell the most of. The white with the red centers, and she's about 5x5.
All right.
Still.
All right. So I'd love to hear, we'd love some pictures and see what you pick up for your garden.
Yeah.
And I will take some pictures of mine, too. And I know I'm still planting in this new garden that I'm using, and I definitely am going to think about some of these because I have a lot of things that bloom in spring already planted, and my hydrangeas, of course. And so August, there's lots to do. You can do as much or as little as you want.
Yep.
But we hope that you enjoyed the show and we were able to give you lots of ideas on positives and, or not that it's positive or negative, but lots of well-rounded advice, let's say.
Exactly. Exactly. A few, a little bit of food for thought on down the garden path.
That's right.
A few good berries.
Yeah. And next week, it is actually a holiday here.
It is the civic holiday.
It is the civic holiday. So we will have a repeat show for you. But we're looking forward to speaking to being back live August 14th.
This is a 2-week. There'll be lots that have gone on in the garden and
Excellent.
The garden center. And we look forward to coming back and chatting with all of you. But in the meantime, don't forget to contact us on social media.
That's right.
We'll be still posting there, so follow us there.
That's right.
Send your questions and stuff. And
Visit downtoearth.ca with the number 2. And all our social media links are there, as are past episodes of the show. So you can always tune in there as well.
Hashtag for Twitter, is there?
DTGP, I guess, or Down the Garden Path for Twitter. We want to thank everybody for listening.
Thank you, everyone.
For joining us Down the Garden Path here on Reality Radio 101.
See you in 2 weeks.
Thank you for listening to Down the Garden Path with your hosts, Joanne Shaw and Matthew Dressing. Right here on Reality Radio 101.